Is that me? All week long, I felt electric. Putting paper clips. The hook. All right. Oh, he has risen. You know, I want to start by thanking Max for the last 2 weeks, his sharing on victorious eschatology. Eschatology meaning the study of the end times. And I tell you, this whole thought is waiting along the road for the Jesus bus to come. Oh, we miss out on so much. We do. There's a power, a resurrected power that Jesus wants us to walk in. And that's what's going to make him famous throughout the world. Amen? Man, I tell you, my eschatology, my view of the end times is one that's positive. I've read the book. I've read to the end many times. And guess what? We win. Yeah. And it's because of the resurrection. Amen? Yeah. You know, I want to start by just sharing a quick perspective, and this morning I want to have some other witnesses come forward, okay? So, first of all, I want to thank all of you for coming and being here with us on this Resurrection Sunday. We know that Jesus resurrected many years ago, but this is a great opportunity to take a moment and reflect on some of the events that happened around that time. And if you were to quickly gaze through the books of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you would see several different accounts of the resurrection of Jesus, all being slightly different. Interesting. But it just shows you, like I was talking to Cyril this morning, how authentic it really is. Because what happens is we have several different accounts of the story from different perspectives, but if we read all of the Gospels and read everything verbatim was always the same, it would make you wonder if they stopped and collaborated together. When you show up in an accident, I'm sure that every witness has a different perspective, but they'll say there was an accident. Something happened. This car ran into that car, whatever. But everyone's going to have a little bit different perspective from their vantage point, right? So keep that in mind. You know, we read out of the Gospel of Matthew how there was an earthquake and an angel came and rolled the stone away. And in Mark, we read something different. In Luke, we read something different. In John, we read something completely different too. But they all, again, tell the story of Jesus' resurrection from a unique perspective, and that is theirs. But the common thread that's woven through all of these stories is that, yes, the stone was rolled away. And that Jesus was not there because he was resurrected and he is alive. Amen? Real quickly, I want to go to one of the firsthand witness accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. Turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 24, just starting in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. That would change your paradigm, wouldn't it? In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day raised again." Then they remembered his words. They remembered that conversation. They had a suddenly, and suddenly they remembered that conversation with Jesus. And it goes on to say, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because these words seemed like nonsense. Jesus rose from the dead. That wasn't even in their thought process. When you died, you died. That was it. But then he goes on. Peter, however, had a hope in his heart. He got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Some translations say he went away just marveling at what he saw before him. It was all true. Jesus had rose from the grave. So here it is. To kind of sum that up, Jesus was crucified for all of mankind. And then on the third day, he overcame the death by resurrecting from the grave so that you and I might have new life in him. This is solid teaching. Then he ascended after 40 days. All of a sudden, he ascends to the Father. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And in that place, he is currently now interceding for all of us. But wait, there's more. Because when he went, he said, I got to go, guys. Because I'm going to send someone who's going to help you. And what happened is, he sent forth the Holy Spirit to indwell in us and to empower us as believers to carry forth his message. Amen. That is really, really good news. You know, the resurrection of Jesus is probably one of the most powerful beliefs in Christianity. And Easter is a time when the global church gathers around this pivotal point of our faith, and that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Amen? That's why you see such an influx of people come into a place. I remember up in Wolf Creek, growing up there, we would have Easter service, and everybody from every little holler of that community would show up. The church would spill out into the courtyard out front. People came from everywhere for that one moment. And as time went on, a couple times over the years, we went up to Golden. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Golden, Oregon on Coyote Creek, not too far from Wolf Creek. There is a church that's still standing, was built in the 1850s, still standing. And I remember having service there. And again, who are these people? You never saw them except that one moment, that one time in the year, that one season when something called them forward and they knew in their heart that they wanted to celebrate the resurrection. But I'm telling you, Jesus was resurrected once and for all. Amen? We don't need to keep resurrecting Jesus once a year. I get it. This is a great time to celebrate and remember that moment. It's a celebration of life. I get it. But at the end of the day, if you want that power, you can have it every single day because God is ready to meet you at every point. So 3 days, let me back up for a second. 3 days before the resurrection, we see and we read Jesus is hanging on the cross. And here we have this moment when the fate of the entire human race and the hope of a bright tomorrow and life and death hung there with him on the cross. The human race seemed doomed to endure pain and suffering and anguish in this life that we were living and they were living. And then to die, only to be eternally separated from God. That's what it seemed like to those who had to have been watching Jesus hanging on the cross saying, is this it? Is this really it? The guy who walked on the water, the guy who laid hands on the sick and they were healed, he set the demonic people free. Is this it? Can you imagine that moment? However, the Son of the Sovereign God, I wrote, Jesus broke the power of death by raising from the grave on the third day. And you know what happened? He pierced the kingdom of darkness with penetrating light. Jesus, the light of the world, went nuclear. Now, my father was in atomic weapons testing, and he would tell a story about being on one of these ships in the Marshall Islands in the Bikini Atoll when an atomic bomb went off. They were told to stay inside and not look at the hull. Don't look at the walls of the ship towards the explosion. But he did. And he said it was about an inch and a half to 2 inches thick of solid steel. And you know what he said? He said it glowed. The light penetrated through the steel. That's what happens when light goes nuclear. I have a feeling that God lit Jesus up and he went nuclear. And he exploded forth from the tomb. Man, that is good news. Penetrating the darkness in ways that we cannot imagine. And that power is inside of each and every one of you. As you put your foot into another place and you walk into another realm, you're carrying that presence and that power and that light of Jesus with you. That's why you can change the environment by simply stepping into it and being who you are in Christ. Because the light of the world is in you. Amen. The resurrection is the very cornerstone and the very foundation of our hope. And I believe beating in the heart of every believer throughout history has been this incredible desire to experience the transforming power that raised Jesus from the grave. Can I get an amen? Amen. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Man, the same Jesus, we are told, lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And he's continually at work to conform us into the image of Christ. We are, in a sense, Christ here on earth, so to speak. The world should be seeing Christ lived through us in our lives. And because of the resurrection, we have the power to be able to do that. Amen? But how do we experience the resurrection of Jesus in ways that will change our daily lives, in ways that will change our relationship, in ways that will help our jobs go better, in ways that will influence the circle that we influence? We are influencers, whether you know it or not. And if the power of Christ indwells in you and you're shining for him, you will change that environment that you're in. People will come to you and go, "What is it that you have?" In this season, it's been so incredibly dark and it's been an ugly time and my heart is crushed and I'm feeling this low. How do you do it? And you get to say, "He is risen. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory." I'm going to tell you, how does this all work? I believe it starts with a witness. I believe it starts with a witness of and to the transforming power of the resurrected Christ. I love, and I'm sure a lot of you do too, you love powerful God stories. Powerful God stories, they stir my heart. Amen? You know, the greatest thing about going to the tomb of Jesus, I believe, is it was found to be empty. He wasn't there. And I believe that the empty tomb is one of the most powerful evidences of the resurrection of Christ that there is. But like the first witnesses who went and saw that the tomb was empty, there are other witnesses to the transforming power of the resurrected Christ. And you know what? They are right here in this room. I recently asked some people if they'd be willing to come up and share that moment. I kind of framed the question like this. I said, "What is the most notable moment when you became aware of the transforming power of the resurrected Christ?" Now, I know for some of them it was many moments, but for some it was maybe one or two. How many of us can remember that moment when we knew that we knew that we knew that God was who he said he was? Yeah, I see hands. Well, I've asked a few people. I'm going to ask them to come up here one at a time and share quickly that moment that they knew that they knew that they knew. Amen. Barb Meyer, where's Barb? She's here somewhere. There she is. Come on up, Barb. Jim Erkeneff, why don't you come up here? Matt and Tamara, why don't you guys come on up too? We'll get you all up here. And Cyril, come on up, buddy. Now, my tech guy told me there's something we need to know here. You need to stand right here when you give your testimony, because you're being filmed and there's people watching this all over the world. So no pressure. Africa, you know, Australia, they're all watching.
Hi, family. Well, I don't know how much time I have, but...
30 seconds.
Okay, let's start at the beginning then. So, I've been really thinking about this for several days and written and rewritten a few things down, but we're all on a journey of growing and learning and experiences that lead us to where we are today. And briefly, this is my journey. I grew up in the Church of the Brethren in Wenatchee, Washington, and my first memory was eating Cheerios in the nursery. So we're going back a long ways. I'm not going to make the 30-second mark. Sunday school, youth group, choir was part of my childhood and young adult years. The church and its people were like my family and my home. Fast forward to marriage to my amazing husband, Roy, in 1969, and we moved to Vancouver, Washington, where our daughter was born. Then we moved to Eugene, where our son was born. And there was very little church activity during those years. But it was here that we met neighbors who were Christians, who were real Christians. They lived their lives out in Jesus before us. And I just want to say, make note, there are people in your lives that are on your timeline that lead you to where you are today. And you are also people on that other people's timelines that can be an encouragement. These gals, we had a weekly Bible study, and these gals talked about Jesus like they knew him, like they really knew him, like, you know, answered prayer. Wow. He was a friend and so personal to them, and I was very impressed by their real relationship with him. Then there was the day our study took us to Corinthians, and they talked about speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit. I was intrigued and terrified. In fact, one of our neighbors who I knew spoke in tongues, when she came to the door, I hid. I mean, I'm serious. Because I was so afraid of her, because this whole thought was so scary to me. God had me on his radar. It was then I realized that I knew about Jesus, but not in a personal way. And so one day, alone in my living room, I knelt and prayed to become truly born again. And then we moved to Grants Pass. And we attended what was then the First Baptist Church, now River Valley. A friend took me to a Charles and Frances Hunter meeting in Eugene. Who remember the Happy Hunters? Yeah, they were crazy. Roy was out of town at the time, so I went. I experienced teaching and manifestations that literally blew my mind. And in group prayer, I felt warm oil fill me from the soles of my feet to the top of my head, literally. And a few days later, I received my prayer language. I spoke in tongues. I was so excited. The Word of God came alive like never before, and I felt passionate about praying for the sick. Our journey involved a group of like-minded, mind-hearted charismatics, a church called The Barn, because that's where we met and fellowshipped. This was in the early 80s. Then we were introduced to the Vineyard Movement and a powerhouse. Lonnie Frisbee came and visited our little motley crew of about 30, 40 of us. And the power of God hit us like an explosion. An explosion. that church faded out, we were encouraged to check out the Pleasant Valley Church on Red Mountain Road, and there we met Steve and Mid Shaw. As we shared with them the happenings at the Anaheim Vineyard and John Wimber, they were intrigued, and we took Steve to a pastor's conference in Seattle where he encountered John Wimber, but most importantly, the power of God ministered in a naturally supernatural way, and that's when our church became a vineyard. Worship was foremost, adoring, praising, and loving God, and powerful ministry always ensued. And here we are, 38 years later at the Vineyard Christian Fellowship. It's Easter Sunday. The power explosion, and power means dunamis, literally means explosion, that rocked our world and for me personally opened my heart, my mind, and spirit to the awesome and amazing power available to all of us, to you. The stone to the tomb was literally rolled away. Jesus is alive in me and in you. Salvation and all that entails is available to all of us, freely available. So if you are hearing this and hearing the salvation message, and be encouraged, today's your day to receive all that he has for you.
Got it? You ready?
This is what happened.
Uh-oh.
When that explosion hits me, but I'll make it.
Okay. So I'm up here. I'm up here trying to speak in the speaker. Can you hear me? Closer? Okay. I don't know where to actually begin. She went from her beginning, and I'm just going to kind of pick up about, I was a janitor here from the year 98 through about 12. And in the year of 06, I was waiting for the class of the, high school class in the back room upstairs. I was in the prayer room in waiting at 2:22, and it was about this time of the year, and I was, it's been 15 years since this happened, and but before I get started with that, I had two other things I wanted to say, and I want to say that if I don't know you and you're here, and I haven't told you personally, I love you, because Jesus loves me, and I love you, and he loves me. So we're all one big happy family, right? And it's easy to say because I believe. You know, I'm a believer of love, and love goes really does make a difference. Oh, and especially my wife. She was married to me now for 56 years yesterday. I don't think she saw that coming. Anyway, I wanted to say a quick prayer for me to articulate. Lord, just give me the words to express exactly what happened without having to back up, Lord, and just go forward. It's a very short but sweet message that I've had held in my heart for like 15 years, and I've shared it with about 50 people. And you can take it for what it's worth, but it's the truth. Anyway, so we'll go back to, I'm waiting. It's 2:22, and I have my eyes closed. There's nothing really in my mind except that I was waiting to hear the children or the young adults come down the back staircase. So I could hear the rumbling of them getting out of school. They got out at 2:30. So it's 2:22, and I had my eyes closed, and I heard a sound that sounded like they were going to be coming down the stairs, but my eyes were closed. And as it got louder and louder, it sounded like a stampede of a herd of elk. You know, and we have them around here, you know. So as it goes on, I don't want to draw this out, but we're here. And I opened my eyes, and I saw a blue circle. I could see the sky in the middle of the room. And at the very edges of the circle, I could see what you would see as you would do a kaleidoscope So you, how it swirls and it opens up. And this kaleidoscope was right at the very edges of the circle, which was about 3 feet in diameter. And it was about from here to here. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, in 2 seconds later, or within 5 seconds, you know, I'm actually telling the story. I can't believe that people are listening to me. There's a dove approximately, you know, yo, big. It was big, and it had dark eyes, and it looked through the room. And then it turned around. It left. The window in the room closed. I saw the just kind of wind up, and there it was. I'm here. It was there, and I'm sharing. Thank you very much for listening to my story. It's his story. It's actually his story, because I'm sharing the dimensions of God. He's here. It sewed me up. I have never had to, anything I got. I'll tell you, two extra things. I went to two major medical conditions, one in 10, which I had strep millery, which is a pretty much 80% mortality rate. God was good. I got through that. And then in 15, I had peritonitis septicemia, and I had a bowel that broke, and I had a colostomy bag for 6 months. So I've kind of gone through a few ringers, and I think maybe, and I don't want to blame it, but I think I resisted the Holy Spirit too long, and I think he just went ahead and said, you know what, I'm just going to try to encourage you, but it's been another 5 years or 6 years, and I'm feeling like I don't want a third try. You know, I got through the two, right? So God bless you all, and thank you for listening to me.
Raw and real, right? I love it. I love it.
Okay, so I had to write mine down because I can ramble. I'm going to be talking about the goodness of God. And don't get me started. I could go and go and go. So I have limitations here. Well, probably 7 years. I'm just going to read it because it's kind of a personal story, and I don't. It's a hard thing to tell a personal story. Lord, help, and thank you that I feel your presence so strongly. I just sense you're in the room, and I thank you. So probably 7 years ago, between our two girls and our little boy, we had a miscarriage. This is my husband here. We had a miscarriage, but the real story is Christ's ability to redeem even in great loss. This is the real, that's a resurrection power. So we had just come from the doctor's office, and we were still very much so in shock from the news. On the way home, my husband stopped by the store to pick up a prescription for me. And I had to stay in the car. I kind of needed a minute to just process through that. And I remember it being a very long minute. And I don't know if anybody here has ever walked through something, you know, that's a very unique type of loss. And I remember feeling very lonely. It was very alone all at once sitting there, but we know we're never alone, right? So then, out of that loneliness, I just started worshiping God. And it's shocking for me because I was always nervous about death and loss. I'd never had any loss in my life before. Gosh, I'm looking at my mom now. Don't look at my mom. Anyway, I had never experienced death or loss of a loved one before, so I just didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how I would respond to that situation. And something in me felt like I have to worship. I have to worship now. So in the Albertsons parking lot, tears flowing. I'm sure that was an odd sight if anybody was watching on, but I had to call to mind who the Lord was, that he was trustworthy, that he's faithful. And I remember saying, I'm your servant. and do what you need to do in my life. Like, just, you have access. You have access to my life. So then all of a sudden, my lonely, my lonely car became full, very full. And in a moment, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all were there just ministering to me in my broken heart in a very tangible way. The living God was very alive in my car. In that moment, I felt Jesus on my side. I felt the Father behind me. I felt his hand on my shoulder. And I felt the Spirit in me and all around me. Just a full, full car. No lies of loneliness. No lies. He did away with the lies. He took care of that. So I was filled with an incredible awareness of his goodness. Me knowing him as good overrode any questions that I might have previously had in my mind. You know, the why. Oh no, but why did I do something wrong? Why is this canceled? It was canceled because he's good. He's so good. When you're caught up in the glory of his goodness, no loss or sorrow has the same sting. It doesn't have the same bite that it could have previously in moments before. So then as I was writing this down, the Lord reminded me of Exodus 33 and 34 and the story when Moses asked to see the Lord's glory. And it says, the Lord said he would pass before him in his goodness. So Moses wanted to see his glory. And God showed him his goodness. And I didn't even ask to see his glory, and he showed me anyway. Oh, so good. Okay, so this encounter was the beginning of many. He has been and is marking me to be a person who has to have the presence of the living God. Has to. I can't do without it. To be discontent to do anything without him. Communion, interaction. Me and him and me. The enemy wanted me stuck on loss and devastation, but God used intimacy to distract me with his beauty.
Oh, that's good.
When we turn our eyes, the things of earth grow strangely dim. So it has ignited a fire in me. Oh, what the enemy throws at us, and the plans that God, the victory that God has for us. So now I have to read Psalm 23, 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You who know him this way can testify that in life's most despairing valleys, we can have a cup that is overflowing, a real and lasting joy that cannot be taken. His goodness and mercy is found at the table of fellowship. It's just a seat away at his table, It's just, he's just there pulling out a chair. So he is the resurrection and the life, and he is alive, 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 looking to buy back every dark place with his glorious, unmatched, unrivaled light, bright light. The darkest night, he can light it up. That's that.
That's my wife. I've never met someone more gracious and encouraging than that woman. I wouldn't be who I am without her. Jesus is so good. I came to know him when I was 4, and over the past 38 years, I have experienced him more times than I can count. And there's only power when you experience him. The power it comes from no other place than him, because Jesus is both the power and the wisdom of God. So when you're with Jesus, you get power and you get wisdom. He is the power of God. And the only way there's going to be revival is if there's power. And the only way there's going to be power is if we are with power, who has a name, and his name is Jesus. So I've experienced him many, many times, and I love him so much. He's my best friend. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. He'll be a friend like no other. I promise you that. When everyone else lets you down, when you let yourself down, he never will. I'd had a long week, so I decided to take a hot bath. As I usually do, I was there reading the word, and I began to not just, at some point it transitioned from reading the word to experiencing the word, if you know what I'm talking about. The word became flesh. I was experiencing him. I was reading the story of Joshua and Caleb, specifically Caleb in Numbers 14, when the spies brought back a bad report about the land of promise. And there was only one man who stood up, and it was Caleb. And God started stirring something in my heart. And this is probably the most memorable encounter I've had with him. He began to ask me, and this is leading up to this. We're talking years and years of surrendering to him over and over and over again in many, many ways. And it's like in that moment, as I was reading about Caleb, who had a different spirit than the other people around him, God was saying, I saw myself at the edge of a cliff, and he said, are you willing to jump again? Because there's no middle ground. Either you're on the cliff or you're going to jump off it. And I sat there. And I didn't want to say anything to him unless I really meant it. And this was at the time when God was asking us to move to Grants Pass. And I said, yeah, I'm all in. I'll jump. And not only will I jump, but something started happening in my heart. This fire. It went from fear to fire. And I went from, yes, Lord, to let me at him, the enemy. Where is he? I started thinking of all the lies and all the people that the enemy lies to and takes captive and has taken captive and continues to take captive. And this fire began to grow in my heart. And I said, no more, not on my watch. I said, I'll go, Lord. And it began to grow and grow to the point where I couldn't even control my body. I was alone, and my hands began to like curl up. I couldn't even control my face. It was like frozen, like I had a bad Botox injection or something. And I called my wife in, and she looked at me, and she's like, are you having a stroke? And I'm like, I don't know, but this is a good thing. I feel peace, but I'm freaked out. I don't know what's happening. So my heart was going crazy. She called 911, and they came. It was an embarrassing experience. But I in that moment, God did something, and I didn't even know what was happening, but it was his fire that just, whew. So we moved to Grants Pass, and for about 2 weeks, my wife and I together, every night, we would just cry out to God, and we'd just say, God, what, we want more of you. We'll do anything. What do you want us to do, Lord? What do you want? We weren't seeking anything but him. We just wanted him. And something, we started, after that point, we started going out and just going about our daily life. And we began to encounter people who were sick. And people who were captive to the enemy. And he began to heal people through us in ways that we'd never seen before. Just one after the other after the other. We saw this one family and they couldn't come to church every Saturday. That almost all of them would get sick and they couldn't come. I'm like, this is weird. And I called him and I prayed for him over the phone and I said, you demons, get out. Leave his property. In Jesus' name, you go now. No more infirmity. And they didn't get sick anymore and they were able to come. And I could go on and on, including a woman who dropped lifeless, dead probably, on the floor of a restaurant. And my wife was praying. And I went to lean over her. And as I leaned over, her eyes opened. And later, I didn't even know who she was. Later, I ran into her 2 weeks later, didn't know who she was. She told me that her heart, they found that her heart stops. Anyway, And then over the last 18 to 24 months, God has been downloading things to me, and I've never shared this with anyone outside my family, but God has given me, and I'm so humbled by it, I don't even know what's going to happen with it, but not one, but like literally 4 or 5 books. I can't even keep up with it. So God hijacked, at 1:30 in the morning, he woke me up this morning. And he hijacked what I was going to share. And he reminded me of something. He reminded me in Revelation 19:10, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what God has done in you and me and us, he's going to do something even greater. I had a vision on February 27th as I was singing before the Lord, God of revival. I saw a vision of dry ground, cracked ground, as far as the eye could see. And God spoke to me that I was looking at Christians. As far as I could see, dry. And then I saw a demonic dam, a concrete dam that the enemy had been building for years. And behind the dam were waters, oceans, seas of water, of revival. And then I saw the dam crumble, and it rushed over this dry ground. And though the enemy may have held back and delayed the waters of revival, when they break, not if, but when they break, it will be even more forceful. God is doing a new work, but he can't do the work without the power, and we can't have the power without Jesus. And he's doing the work in you. He's raising up an army. That's going to be big. That's going to be like nothing we've ever seen. And I'm just going to prophesy it because it's going to happen. It's in his heart. If you don't have Jesus or you've walked away, he's just waiting. Knock. And he's not behind the door angry. He doesn't kick the door down, as some might say. He's sitting at the table and he wants to eat with you as you eat of him.
That was so powerful. Wow. I'm just going to say, let it be, Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I wasn't looking for him when I met him, and I knew I was in trouble. I was 30 years old, and I had a problem with drinking, and I had actually entertained thoughts of suicide, and I was not a churchgoer in those days. I was home one Saturday morning surfing the channels, and Billy Graham came on, and I had heard of him. I didn't care for him. I didn't dislike him, but he gave that message that he gives. Do you know where you're going to be if you die tonight? And I knew I was going to burn. I'd been raised in church and in a family that read the Bible every day, and we prayed at every meal, but I had turned from that, and I had always thought, I will repent, but later on, when I get old someday. And 2 Corinthians 6:2, Billy Graham was preaching on that verse that day. And that's been my lifetime verse ever since. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. He gave the invitation to repent and to turn from sin. He was speaking at a large crusade, as he typically did, thousands of people, and it was on TV, and I was watching on TV, as I said. And the Holy Spirit touched me, and I went down on my knees, and I said, "Yes, Lord, I repent. Take my life. Take my sin. I love you, Lord." Barb talked about that warm oil. That warm oil just covered me over all the way down to my toes, like she said. I was filled with love for everybody. I had a total cleansed heart for everybody and everything. I knew right away that I didn't have to drink anymore. And it did take me a while yet to get over that, because I liked it too much. But 33 years sober now, praise God. But the bigger deal for me following that moment, he was so real, he was so powerful. In that moment, I said, you'll have my whole life. I will be telling people about you all the rest of my life. And I did pastoring full-time and part-time 39 years, and now I'm back to teaching. Praise God, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be on staff here at Vineyard. But that resurrection power that the others have talked about today has never left me. It's I get up in the morning and kind of like Matt was saying, let me at him. Who needs a miracle today? Who needs healing? Who do we need to pray for? That's the way my wife and I pray. And whatever's happening, we pray for miracles. And as Matt said, they happen often. And he has never left me. I've been through a divorce. There have been two suicides in my family since 2001. And those have been devastating beyond belief, but His power is always there. And He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Now is the acceptable time. Amen.
Was that good or what? That was a little different spin. Greg, would you come up, please? That was a little different spin on Easter. But you get to hear testimonies of the power of Jesus, all from different people. None of them were paid advertisement, I guarantee that. And I love their raw and their real, just exposing their hearts. You know, in a moment, we want to make an invitation, but I want to finish with just a few thoughts, and that is, hear me, please. You know, it doesn't matter right now in this season to me what the scientists or what the politicians are doing and saying. What really matters to me is He has risen. That the stone has been rolled away. Amen? That the resurrection, it really happened. It really did happen. And I think we should be bold. We really, those of us that have accepted Christ and are walking in the way, I think we should be bold, because the resurrection is not just some inspirational story to warm our souls like a cup of coffee or chocolate or whatever. Man, it's an ironclad reality that is to be declared, man, with incredible conviction. I don't care what the enemy has spoken to you, the lies that he said to you. His threats, to me, none of that matters. Why? Because He is risen. Amen? You know, this morning, I want you to hear me. Please stand. I want you to hear me. I am not your therapist this morning. I'm not. I want to fire you guys up. I wanted you to hear these testimonies so it would light your pants on fire with the conviction to go out and say, Jesus has risen and He is my Lord. Man. You know, I want to be the voice that's shouting in the wilderness saying to you, greater is He who is in you, and you, and you, and you, and all of you that know Jesus, than He who is in the world. We should be that voice in the marketplace. We should be that one making that declaration. Guys, I want to say something here. In the past year, you have not heard me, I hope, preachers say anything along the lines of, you know, just make the best of this situation. You haven't heard me say that. You haven't heard me preach anything along the lines of, you know, this is all going to soon be over and we're going to be back to normal. You haven't heard me preach that. Guys, in the light of eternity, yes, we have lost a lot. I get that. And some of you have suffered great loss. But I'm going to tell you again, in the light of eternity, we've lost nothing that matters. Truly. The fact is, Jesus is risen, and that's the only thing that matters. So here's my question. Do you know? Do you truly know the resurrected Christ and the power of His resurrection? Do you want to know it? Do you want to experience Him at a greater level? How about this? The Word of God talks about God taking our heart of stone and turning it into a tender, loving heart. For a long time, some of you have had your hearts jaded to the point where it's gotten really, really hard. And I believe that this morning you want that stone rolled away from your heart. And you're going to allow Jesus to touch and change that heart of stone into a tender, loving, and caring heart that can navigate these waters, knowing that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He's got this one. Amen? So as Greg plays, if that's you, if you want prayer, you want to step into more of God, come forward. We want to pray for you, pray over you, pray with you, agree with you. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
You turn mourning to dancing.
Yes, thank you, God.
You give beauty for ashes.
Thank you, Jesus. Come,
Holy Spirit. Shame into glory.
Come, Holy Spirit.
You're the only one who can.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe you don't know Jesus, and you'd like to. Oh, this would be a great time to invite him into your heart. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's just a little bit past time, but I want to provide an opportunity for ministry. Cyril, could you come back up, please? You know, Cyril pulls no punches about dealing with a painful past and addictions, and I can only fathom. And I would like Cyril to pray for you If you're struggling with some form of addiction, or you've had those thoughts of like, I'm taking my football and I'm just going home, I'm done, I want Cyril to pray over us just out of his testimony, because Jesus is in that and there's power in that. Amen?
Jesus, you came to me when I wasn't looking for you. And speak to the hearts of anyone who needs you today. Anyone who feels life is not worth it any longer. Anyone who's struggling with something that it just seems like they can't get beyond it. A habit, an addiction, a secret sin. Jesus, you gave your followers the power to cast out demons, to heal the sick, you gave them power over all evil. And so we take that power today. Satan, we just tell you to leave and don't come back. We command you to take your hands off anyone who has any problem with addiction or sin or weakness or someone who needs healing. We just pray for every answer that you've been quietly hoping for or needing. Jesus, you are, because of your life and death and resurrection, and in the Holy Spirit you have given to your church until the end of time, you told your followers, we would do the works you do and greater than these. And so we claim the deeds that you gave your followers to do: healing, deliverance, restoration, uniting families, and even raising the dead when someone's heart has stopped. And so we speak healing, we speak deliverance, we speak your love, your restoration. We thank you, Jesus, in advance for touching your people today, for giving them the power of your resurrection. On the cross you said, it is finished. And the finish is on the power of evil.
Oh my, that was so good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just finish out with this. Matt, would you come up, please? You and Tamara, come on up together. You guys are like the dynamic duo. These guys are awesome in intercessory prayer. Wow. Matt, I'd like you to pray. You know, revival starts with us. It starts with reviving our hearts, right? I want you to pray that revival would start in people's hearts.
Father, we thank you that before there's a word on our tongue, you know it. And we have what we ask for. Past tense. So we thank you, Lord, that you're already doing revival in hearts. We thank you in advance, God, for the revival. We pray for the revival, Lord. I just pray that that it would start here in Grants Pass, Lord. Pray for every individual here, Father. I pray for me. I pray for everyone here, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do whatever it is that is in your heart, and that we would see your face like we have never seen it before. And we would see in your face the eyes of purity, the eyes of love, the eyes of fire. The eyes that have never looked away from us. We see your eyes now, Jesus. We love you. We look to you. And we pray, God, for a greater work for the sake of the lost, Lord, for our sake, Lord, for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your kingdom, Lord. You are coming soon. Lord, do what you wish in us, God. Help us surrender all over again.
May that cycle of sitting and surrendering just continue, Lord. As we sit at your feet, we surrender to you. You just come in power, Lord. And you just keep doing it, Lord. God, keep us near to your heart, Lord. I just pray for everyone here, Lord, that you would do the impossible, Lord. And I right now, God, I ask that the fiery darts of the enemy would be turned into fire, God, that would be actually used by you, God, to burn, God, like never before, to burn up the dross, Lord, to use us that as we walk, we would walk like you, that the world might see that we might be truly imitators of you, Jesus, as dear children, remembering that we have a Father who loves us and under whose arm and wing we are safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
My son has a quick word. I think this is important for us to hear it, and then we'll get you out of here. Amen.
It's the never-ending church service today. You know, try and make this quick. But this last year, all of 2020, I've watched this crazy in the nation go on, and something that's really weighed on my heart is if I've watched these increase in suicides. And I'll be honest, even my own life, I have never had that thought enter my mind. And this last year, I have even found some interesting thoughts entering my mind. To save a big, long story, I sit in the boat with a miracle every day. But a lot of times, thoughts can enter that try to distract us from where God's pointing us, that boat. And I guess ultimately, I sat down like, Lord, okay, like where is this coming from? You know, where are these thoughts I'm dealing with obviously the nation's dealing with? And we can look at it, you know, at a surface thing and say, okay, well, there's a lot of hopelessness or fear or this, and we can chalk it up as that. But at the end of the day, those are just scare tactics done by the enemy to take us off course. They're just storms. And God's response to me was, because the devil's running scared. And for those of you, I'm not going to make you raise your hand or anything, but if anybody in this room is struggling with suicidal thoughts, I'm going to tell you what God told me. The reason that you're battling with those isn't because you're crazy. It isn't something you did wrong. It's not because God's mad at you or he doesn't love you. It's nothing. Anything that's telling you why you're thinking that is an absolute lie. And it's because the word from God is, it's because the devil's scared of what God has in store for you to do to trample the kingdom of darkness. You don't need a therapist. You don't need pills. There you go. Took the words out of my mouth. And that's it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I get it, it's hard. And I tell you, I've been humble because a lot of times, you know, you think, man, why do people go to the length of suicide? Like, that's kind of a selfish act. And I don't think I part of me is like, is God just allowing these thoughts to enter because he wants me to bring me to a level to have compassion for those that do? And it's tough. It's a weird place to be, especially when I'm going to be 35 this summer, 34 years. I've been through all kinds of crazy and darkness, and that's never been a thought. And you find yourself in these weird places. But hold fast. The reason the devil's after you and putting those thoughts is because God's got something in store for you. And you're going to watch giants fall as you walk through this season.
Well, I hope you're lit up. I hope you go nuclear today. Amen. In a healthy way. Father, we just thank you for this amazing time that we had this morning. I thank you, God, for the amazing testimonies. Oh, that is the power of you, God. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Father, I just pray that we could go and celebrate with family and friends and just have a glorious day, ever mindful of the neighbor over the fence, the person down the street who we need to reach out to. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.